sin and cursed God in their hearts. This did Job continually. Let me read that over again. And it was so when the days of their feastings were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Pray for us that the Lord will help us bring forth His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read a little bit there real quick. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians 5 and 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. What I'd like to speak about a little bit tonight, if the Lord would help me, would be flying too high on borrowed wings. Flying too high on borrowed wings. The Bible says that the husband is sanctified in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 14. That the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. We read in Job chapter 1 there how that Job sanctified his sons and how he offered up sacrifices for his children. Peradventure they may have sinned and cursed God in their heart, and this did Job continually. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that the unbelieving husband, the unbelieving wife, or that Job's children were saved because of the believing spouse. But what it simply means is they're under the protection and the blessings of God because of that spouse they're living with.
Right.
They're under the blessings and protection of the Lord because of that spouse that they're living with.
Right.
And it ain't really so much the person or the individual that so much that there's something, but it's that treasure that's inside that earthen vessel that makes that home special. You read about a man over in the Old Testament, and that how that the Ark of God was taken over to his house. And how that as long as it was over there, the Bible says for a space of 6 months, whatever it was, that God blessed his house as long as the Ark of God was there. And see, the Ark of God was a representation of the Spirit of God. So it was the Spirit of God that brought that blessing. We know in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. To speaking directly concerning the church, but the Spirit of God is there and through us, and how that it's a hindrance, it's a blessing that if God did not send the curse upon the children of Israel over in Egypt land, how that he put a protection over them, but it came upon the Egyptians. And how that it rained upon the just and the unjust. And that's why Jesus said, he said that he could not pull up the tares with the wheat, because if he pulled up the wheat, the tares, the wheat would also be destroyed also. So if the Lord was to send a plague like you read in the Old Testament that fell upon Israel, he didn't just select certain individuals. There were select instances where certain people were destroy like Ananias and Sapphira. But when David numbered the people, the Bible did not say that just the evil people died. But when this plague fell upon Israel, the good and the bad died, you see. So that's why the Lord has to hold back on you. Say, why doesn't the Lord just bring something out upon America, as bad as they are? The Lord brings the plague. Well, look at the situation with AIDS.
Yeah.
How many innocent people have died because of the sinfulness of a few?
Right. Right.
But God brings protection to the household of that one that's living for God. And that's why it amazes me so much. One, you know, you'll hear stories of a husband that's wife is really serving God and really praying and weeping and crying and trying to raise her children and bring them to Sunday school. And that husband goes out and drinks and comes home and talks to her bad and on and on. And you think, oh buddy, don't you realize that the only reason that you got the blessing that you got is because of that woman that's praying for you, because of that woman that's in that house, because of that woman that's got the shadow of the Almighty abiding over that tabernacle, over that house? If you ought to be doing anything, you ought to be encouraging her to go to church. You ought to be, if you can't handle it yourself, drive her and come and pick her up. But whatever you do, don't touch that child of God that's serving the Lord.
All right.
If you've got children that serve the Lord and you don't want to, and you ought to take them, but if you're not going to, if you ought to go with them, but if you're not going to go with them, by all means, take them, encourage them to go, encourage them to do better, but don't see how much you can do to discourage them and keep them from the house of God.
Right.
That is the type of the ark of God. When the ark of God fell into the hands of the Philistines, what happened? Cursing. Cursing. Reread about Joseph and Potiphar. When Joseph went to Potiphar's house, what happened? Blessing. Blessings, blessings. Why? Because of Joseph.
Sure.
When Joseph went to the prison, what happened? Blessing. Why? Because of Joseph.
Yes.
When Joseph was set upon the throne in Egypt, why was Egypt blessed? Why was Egypt saved? Because of Joseph.
Right.
When Jacob went down to Laban's house, Laban all of a sudden started having good produce, started having good livestock. He started hitting the stock market, the quote stock market, a whole lot better, you know. Why? Because Laban left all of a sudden, started falling upon Laban? No, because of Jacob that was there.
Right.
Why is the land of Israel blessed today? Why is the oil there? Why? It's because the Arabs are doing so good. It's because the Israelis are walking in the fear of God because they're living under even the commandments of Moses. No, but because of the promises that God made to Abraham. That's the reason why. But what's going to happen to the Arab people? What's going to happen to the Jewish people? What's going to happen to the people of the United States? Is we have flown too high on borrowed wings. We've warmed ourselves with the ashes of somebody else. We've not served God ourselves. And after a while, we are going to be held accountable for our own deeds. And just like Job's prayers and blessings and sanctification only went so far on his children. But after a while, Job's prayer can only go so far. After a while, Joseph can only go so far. There would come up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. After a while, Jacob decided, I'm going to go back home.
Yeah.
And the blessing stopped. After a while, after a while, the mercies of God is going to get tired of that spouse.
Right.
After a while, the mercies of God is going to hold that nation accountable.
Sure.
We may have a Great Depression that brings revival. But what happened during the Great Depression? Did just the wicked suffer? Everybody suffered. See, we have flown too high on borrowed wings. I thought about our children and the things that we go through. And I thought about this story of a woman down in Kentucky that me and my wife and family, when we go down there, we have stayed with them. And she told me this story. I remember when I went down there a number of years ago, that there was some type of demonic forces at work there. And the commode would flush on itself. The doors would open on themselves. Pentecostal people, holiness people would go down there to have prayer meetings, and things would start happening. And they'd put their tail between their legs and run home scared.
Yeah.
And I was down there, me and my wife, and she started telling us about this. And while she was telling us about this, it was not me, but there was something inside of me that just got stirred up. You know, when you hear about some little bully that picks on a little kid, it just kind of stirs you up, and that's the way it was. That something inside, that Spirit of God would just stir it up inside of you about, what about some spirit so low down and dirty to torment a family like this? And so nothing happened while we was there. But anyway, it went on and it went on and it went on. And the mother was praying, and she was seeking God and going to church and living for God and praying for her children, praying for her husband, and on and on and on. And finally one night she had a dream. And she had a dream that her one of her sons, something happened to him, and he lost his mind, and demonic forces came upon him, and he came into their bedroom and murdered the father, and I believe murdered the other brothers, and came in there to murder her. And in the dream, he came at her, and she hollered out, "No!" And she hollered out his name and said, "No!" And she did that. She woke up, and she prayed. And she went to that son and told her the dream. And she said, "Mom, there's been a spirit that has haunted me, that has driven me, that has talked to me, that has told me to go. Do it. Do it. Do it." That was that spirit in that house trying to work on that boy to kill his own family. We wonder about the stories that we hear all through the news about how could a son kill his own mother and his own father and a daughter and on. How can they do it? Because of demonic forces. But that house had a mother that was sanctifying it, you see. But what about a house that did not have that mother that was close to the Lord, that was full of the Holy Ghost, that was praying, seeking the face of God?
Right.
Oh my God. I know the story about, I read this and it never did hit me like this before, but the story about Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and how in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 it talks about, well, let's just turn to there, 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 1. "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab."
Yes.
Now the Bible plainly tells us when he spoke to his disciples, Jesus, "I have other things yet to tell you, but you are not able to bear them as of yet." The Bible also teaches us that God doesn't have to list everything in the Bible that is sin. The Bible says strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, even them who by reason of how they have exercised their discernment to discern both good and evil. Strong meat belongeth to them who are full age, even those who have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. Like Job said, "Cannot my tongue taste perverse things?" So just because it's not, quote, in the Bible, doesn't mean that it's all right to do it. But we got to take the Word of God and see if it bears light upon that subject.
All right.
But Jehoshaphat joined affinity Ahab.
Oh, yes.
Now, I took that word affinity just to mean he made a league. That's not what it means. I looked it up, and that word affinity means a spontaneous attraction to or liking for a person or a thing. A spontaneous attraction to or liking for a person or a thing. Jehoshaphat, the man of God, the king who feared the Lord, had a great love. He just really looked up to Ahab. He really, really, really liked him.
Yeah.
Spontaneous means acting or resulting from natural feelings or impulse without constraint, occurring through internal cause. He just inside, he just loved Ahab. That was married to Jezebel, that was a worshiper of Baal, that was killing the prophets of God. And Jehoshaphat, you admire him? You're going to make him your buddy? You're going to go out and make partners with him and go out on campaigns of war?
I got it.
And I think about us and our young people. How can we go around and admire so much this social activities that the world has to offer? How can you admire somebody like Magic Johnson?
Right.
How can we go down and join affinity with the Cincinnati Reds?
Right.
What spirit is behind that movement?
Yes.
Is that movement honoring God? Is the Cincinnati Bengals honoring God when half the football team had sex with one woman over Washington or Oregon, wherever it was at?
Yeah.
Or so she said.
That's not been told.
What about the country music singers and the rock and roll singers and on and on? How can you put a poster on your wall of some rock singer and claim to be in love with Jesus? I know a great preacher friend of mine who was a holiness preacher that his sons would not serve the Lord like Job's children. And they had rock posters in their bedrooms. And he tried to get them to do better, tried, and they wanted to run with the wrong crowd and do this and do that. And finally one night his boys went out with some other friends and they was gone. And he was praying and seeking the face of God, and he went to his son's room to pray for his sons or walking for whatever purpose it was. But when he walked past them posters, rock posters, a spirit spoke from one of them posters and says, "I'm going to take him tonight." He got down on his face and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. His son came home later that night and said, "Son, where have you been?" He said, "Well, I've just been out." "What happened?" "Well, now I want to know what happened." He says, "Dad, if we was out at a pond and we's all out there acting silly and I fell in and of course I don't know how to swim."
"Well."
"And I was going under. And under, and under. And somehow, some way, they was able to barely just get me out of that water, and it was so dark."
"Oh, yeah."
"Flying too high on borrowed wings." "Well, Brother Jimmy, you're taking that little, you're straining it and that and swallowing the camel, and you're bending a little bit." Well, let's read what is the mind of God? Verse 31. Excuse me, chapter 19 and verse 2 of 2 Chronicles. Let's see what God has. Now we know the story, how that Ahab disguised himself and how that Jehoshaphat almost got killed, running with the wrong crowd. And how Ahab, you know, the arrow that was shot and finally Ahab got killed. Jehoshaphat comes back home. Verse 1 of chapter 19. "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Ahinei, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?'"
Oh, God.
you go spend $30 or whatever it is to go watch a ball game, support somebody that the way they sponsor their team is by beer commercials and cords with women running around half naked and all cigarette billboards and on and on and on and on that they've got? Somebody, hey, they don't love God, and you're going to go down there and pour your money into them. You're going to go down there and take your youth groups down to watch them. Shouldest thou love them that hate God? Therefore, the wrath of God is upon thee. Well, God, I came back to church, and God blessed me. Jehoshaphat came back in peace, but he still had to pay for it. Guess what? He still didn't learn. Chapter 20 and verse 35. Chapter 20 and verse 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel. Going right back there again. Who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Havi Elzina Gaber. I hope that's how you say it. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodazah, the prophet, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken thy works. And the ships were broken, and they were not able to go to Tarshish.
Never failed.
What about that?
My.
Making money, merchandising, selling, on and on and on and on you can go. And finally, I thought about my generation. And when I thought about this, I thought, you know, I want to be careful how I bring this out. I want to make sure I have a governor on my tongue. And a lot of my generation is not in attendance right now. But I thought if anything I've said tonight that I wish was put on paper, and let this be as the oracles of God, and let this be right here as a word of prophecy, if you please. But my generation is living off the works of the elder generation.
Right.
We have been warming, if I can use the phrase again, we have been warming ourselves too long with the coals and the ashes of the elder generation.
Right.
We have said constantly, we have ruled as kings in the house of God. Yeah. We've lived off the labors of somebody else.
Yeah.
And the Oscar Hughes and the Don Rich and the L.D. Moore, and the Brother Sest, and the Brother Burns, and the Brother Collins, and on and on and on. They're not going to be here very much longer,
right,
if the world tarries. And if we don't get a mind to work for God for ourselves, what type of church will we have? We have flown too high on borrowed wings. And I want to do my best to put wings on myself and get out of the nest. And I want, hey, I don't have time. That's what's wrong. We're too, my generation. My generation is too concerned with making a living. My generation is too concerned with overtime. My generation is too concerned with the car. My generation is too concerned with the house. My generation is too concerned with things of this world. And we need to stop and check ourselves and make time and realize what's important in life.
Yeah.
And get our priorities straight.
Right.
And fly on wings for ourselves. Or else, there will be nobody there to sanctify and offer up sacrifices for our own children, for the Jobs of days gone by, and the Jacobs of days gone by, and the Josephs of days gone by will be gone. And then what's going to happen in the house of God? They will rise up a ruler that knows not Joseph. And what kind of church? Well, we have. Let's find us a place.